Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that'll break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cos. And today I'm joined by Liam McCormack, who is the founder and solopreneur over at Growth by Liam. Liam, thank you so much for joining me today.
Mason, thanks so much for having me, man. Happy to be here.
I'm stoked to dig into it. One, because you're seeing a lot of trends in earlier stage businesses. I think it'd be super helpful for the audience. But then the second thing is, when you look at the companies in which you have specifically worked with, they are great go-to-market organizations that are also solving a lot of ABM challenges for quite a few of their clients as well. So that said, as we think about building out an account-based marketing program, the first question I always dig into is, how do you even determine the audience or the accounts that you would want to go after?
It's really good. So most of what we look at is historical data on closed won accounts. So that is traditionally where we're starting. And transparently, not even for ABM, because I mean, I'm not even like strictly an ABM person. For any sort of targeting, we're doing like a massive breakdown of closed won accounts. And that's just from an account perspective. From there, we're sort of doing a really deep dive then into the like job titles of people booking demos. Obviously, if you're a PLG company that's listing this and you can enterprise, you could likely look at, instead of who's booking demos, who is the person that's actually opening the, you know, who's starting the free trial, who's going through your onboarding. And then from there, we're looking at who is joining demos and generally at what stage are these people joining demos and really getting an idea of then who the buying group is. And then if you're on the PLG side, it's like who's being added to the account over time to what pieces of the platform at what times. And then you've got a really interesting understanding of not just which companies make sense to target. And again, not every company that books a demo is going to make sense from an ABM perspective. So for the most part, we're going to be talking, I think, enterprise companies here, ones that where you can take a lot of the time to do one-to-one or one-to-few interactions. And so that is traditionally, so we're, you know, breaking down company size, buying group, who's booking demos, who's joining calls, and then sort of like from a fiscally responsible level of ACV, where does this actually make sense?
I specifically love the call out around ACV. We had a couple of people to us and we're like, yeah, so our ACV is like 10K. Can we do like an ABM program? I'm like,
no.
Let me save you a bunch of time, energy, effort, and tears, and probably a layoff. Let's not do ABM. So, and then the other thing that I love, and we've had a couple people that have been in PLG and ABM, and it's almost looking at one of the things that we look at deals often in these high touch sales involvements to see what contacts are associated to the deal record. Whereas it's not like you're just doing that, but on the product itself, because it makes it's sense true. In a PLG motion. So like, I love that call out of, we see when this role gets added to the product that they typically convert within 60 days after that.
Bingo. Yeah. So a lot of the time, like, you know, like a C-level executive is going to ask someone to go find a solution to X problem, or someone's going to have a problem. That's how they found your solution in the first place, but no one's going to get the actual, you know, $50,000 buy-in without adding their executive to the platform. So I highly recommend, like, what is the, how many days from free trial to, okay, are they day three adding in now their executive? Or like where do those team members start to fall in and who are those team members? And then you can start just creating an actual picture of who these people are and likely the process they're going through as they attempt to like hire your solution to solve whatever problem they have.
I love it. So once we've actually gone through that exercise, I'm gonna be super clear, we're talking about it in like 2 minutes. That's an intensive amount of research.
It's a crazy amount of research. You're right. I glossed over it in like 90 seconds. We're talking weeks and weeks of work and deliberation, conversations internally. It's no small feat. So I know I say it in 90 seconds. I think a lot of marketing podcasts, transparently, I'm glad you called that out. A lot of marketing podcasts sort of go, do this thing. And you're like, that sounds really easy. It's not easy. None of this is easy. And it's not supposed to be easy. If it was easy, this podcast wouldn't exist. Podcasts don't exist about doing easy things.
Yes. So for anyone listening, the TLDR version is look at your closed won data and then also go talk to product to understand product utilization and like when people are getting added into the product if you're a PLG motion. That will take at least 3 meetings. Like meeting with the marketing team to figure out, all right, who do we want to go after? Meeting with sales, meeting with product, and like, especially at this time of year. Going to be a while to get those meetings scheduled. So
good luck navigating everyone's out of office.
Yeah. So once you figure that out, How do you then think through specifically channel mix to actually engage the audience?
Yeah. So like I said before, I'm not solely an ABM person. And so I'm running a lot of like growth campaigns across the board for most of my clients, or if I'm not the one running them, sort of like leading in a fractional sense, the team that does run a lot of platforms. So we have some initial inherent data because we're already running growth programs about where our audience already exists. And so we're looking at mostly audience demographics of like who, if we're doing it in a digital space, there's one thing. If we're doing it in a physical sense, like if we're gifting or something else, that's a whole other conversation. But we're usually, once we've sort of ID'd the like companies and personas that we generally want to target, we're starting to then go to product marketing and doing our own research about where these people actually exist. So if we're already running LinkedIn programs, if we're already running Reddit programs, if we're already running anything else in sort of a digital space, we need to start understanding like how often are those personas not only existing in those digital spaces, because for what it's worth, LinkedIn will tell you that there's a million dentists on LinkedIn. Do you know who doesn't visit LinkedIn all that often? Dentists. So if you're trying to run like an ABM campaign to large dental offices because you have dental software, I promise you, LinkedIn will tell you that they're there. They're not on there all that often. And so it now comes down to, how do you actually understand not just where your audience is, where these audiences are learning about new products that could solve whatever problems they want, but also how frequent they're actually on these platforms? So we pull in all of that research and then again, build that into an overall understanding of where can we actually start to progress an ABM program.
Yeah, I mean, really simple thing that I don't think a lot of marketers are looking at would just be like, if you're going to focus on LinkedIn, build your target account list in SalesNav with the help of your seller. And then there's a toggle in SalesNav that's just like posted in the past 30 days.
Bingo.
And granted, there's a lot of people that don't post on LinkedIn that are on LinkedIn at least once a week. That's fine. But if you look at your target account list and you see we have 1,000 accounts, and within these 1,000 accounts, only 10 people have posted in the past 30 days, maybe in that your audience isn't that often on LinkedIn.
There it is. And then now you're headed down the route. And again, you might hit that and you might, you're going to hit walls trying to figure out where they exist. And I've always found my best recommendation is to head back to like, go talk. If you can, I know salespeople and product people and customer experience people aren't always happy about letting marketers talk to happy customers, but that's the best place. You got to go ask them, hey, you know, if hopefully product marketing has done this already, but if you don't have that information yet, go talk to the people you're trying to target. If you have a list of enterprise companies, you have a list of personas, go attempt to talk to those people that are already using your product. And then you have a general understanding of, oh, actually these HR folks aren't on LinkedIn all that often, but there are 3, 4, 5 subreddits that they go to all the time to post on. Boom. You've differentiated in your strategy. You're no longer guessing. You're playing more shooting ducks in a barrel than it is like taking a shotgun approach.
Once we've determined, again, these are the best customers to go after, these are the right channels to use for these audiences because that's where they actually live and not what some of these platforms are telling us, because every ad platform will tell you that their audience is super active.
True.
Where do you then, or how do you actually think through the right content mix? I've often seen for many people, they are super, super heavy on like thought leadership-y awareness type content, or they're super, super heavy on like, here's a demo of our product. So how do you think about content mix?
So it's really interesting. I run both of those things sort of at a larger play. Transparently, what I'm hoping for the most part at like top of funnel is to just get these companies to understand. I'm going to back this up one step further. I think it depends where your companies are sort of in the stage of understanding, because we're seeing, at least right now, a lot of new entrants to a lot of new spaces. And so a lot of people don't even know that these solutions exist or that they can solve a problem. So you have a problem, there's new ways to solve the problem. And so I think a lot of what we're working on with like top of funnel general understanding is just getting these companies to understand that there are now better ways to solve problems that they had previously been solving in archaic ways. Now, if people already know that this solution exists, then you're probably doing some thought leader-y stuff, maybe some more bottom of the funnel, like, you know, microsites or something along those lines. But a lot of the time right now, at least with my clients, is like their target account list not only don't know that platform exists, they don't even necessarily know the solution to a problem exists. And so we're kind of working back upwards to do at a one-to-one, hey, you companies should be using or should at least be considering this solution instead of just like hammering home, like either just that your brand exists or something along those lines. So it's a lot of like product value solutioning messaging.
I think we're saying the same thing. I generally think about it as just like problem content and solution content. So people don't try to find solutions unless they have a problem. And oftentimes, because there's so many new solutions that are happening, people don't even know to search for a solution. So you just talk about the problem a lot.
Talk about the problem a lot. Talk about the problem a lot and talk about, you know, generally why others, if you can get a really good handle on, you know, likely what company X is using to already solve that problem. So like, if you know they're using a competitor, you can kind of work that into your lingo. But if you don't realistically know what they're using, then you're sort of going, hey, you are probably solving problem X in a couple of these ways. Did you know that this exists? And it's sort of just like showing them specific use cases about how they should be doing this. And if you want to expand that even broader to personas, now you're talking about like, because, you know, we talked earlier about the persona research or and even like target customers industry. It's like, here's how you would use this in this industry for this persona. And now you're providing like really heavily targeted content about how that person that actually has the problem should be using your platform to solve this problem that they have.
I love it. So that then begs the question that I think you and I probably get all the time. How do we know if we're winning? What does success functionally look like? And how do we measure success through a program like this?
Success where? So usually I'm sort of looking on like percent of people that end up booking a demo. Now, do I traditionally prefer for like target accounts, you know, looking at target accounts by a revenue one? Yeah, like inherently, that's sort of how we know we're winning. But if we're talking enterprise companies and you're trying to kick up an ABM platform and you have high ACV, my guess is these customers aren't closing in the next 3 weeks. And so you need early indicators of if stuff is working. So obviously, we like really early indicators of like, is content being viewed? Are you getting clicks? Are you generally getting more people to your website from target accounts? You could do reverse IP if you've already got something like that set up. Are target accounts visiting your website more often? Usually what I'm looking for, early indicators are like, are people generally booking demos from your target account list? You've got 6 to 12 months to wait for that contract to close. You probably cannot wait for 6 to 12 months to understand if what you're doing is actually functionally working. And so obviously you sort of have like, top of the funnel indicators. I'm traditionally looking at our target accounts booking demos. Are we able to send them to sales? Can we transition them to sales outreach? Are they booking demos themselves? So are we actually getting people to understand more about the product in a more sales environment than a marketing environment?
Yeah, I love it. So last two questions. One, as you think about some of the ABM programs that you've previously implemented, what have been some of the unexpected things that have popped up that have made it significantly more difficult to actually implement?
Yeah, this is a really good question. So I think what we're seeing in a lot of digital spaces and even AI, so like from an email perspective, is like these things are almost at the point of like people are starting to tune stuff out a lot of the time. So like these people are getting hit over the head with ads every single place that they go. So can you, how do you stand out in a digital advertising space? I don't know about you, man. I get 4,000 cold emails a day about new platforms at this point because people are just throwing stuff into Clay and then sending it to outreach and sending me 700 emails. And so your inbox is either hit, your spam is growing, or you're getting a bunch of emails that you already ignore. And so it's like, What's really become difficult, I think, is the ability to stand out. And we've been playing around. I've been playing around with clients with going back to like, in this space, how do you get stuff in front of them that is like, get them to understand your product? We've been working with a lot of like gifting specific stuff, but it's not really gifts. Like I don't like, no, don't send me a hat. Like a hat is not going to tell me what your platform does. Maybe it makes me go to your website, right? But so we've kind of expanded into this space of like, can we actually direct mail people, but something interesting. It's almost like a direct mail ad, which is kind of what we've been running with and seen a lot of success for clients that have worked like this. It's a huge pain in the ass to put together. I won't lie. It is a nightmare. It is so much effort. But the tail end is if your ACV works out, I promise you the effort is worth it in the end.
Our marketing director, we've been inviting target accounts onto podcast. So in case you're listening,
yeah,
like some of these have been on our podcast, we then bring them back often for a panel. So we've been doing a lot of panel discussions with all of our target accounts. And then what we're doing after panels is actually making custom thank you notes that are like drawn and illustrated as a co-branded between their brand and our brand. Yeah. And it costs like $20. But it's all manual, and we've gotten such a positive response just the postcards. Like some people are taking a photo and like posting it on social, and it's like the CMO of one of our target accounts that was on a panel session is like posting, "Oh, this was so fun and such a cool idea," which then also gets in front of their friends and then their employees, and they're sending our chief together. So like, not crazy. Also, $20 per postcard, but like very worth it.
You send something that gets like legitimate excitement out of a target account. They post it on LinkedIn. There's like this massive connections rule. If other people follow other people that do the same jobs as them because they have a ton in common. And so you get the CEO of a target company that's like, "Oh, I got this from this company." That is infinitely worth more than any ad you could possibly run.
Yes. And then the other thing that I've just been thinking a lot about recently is there aren't that many people that will actually experience your product, but they will experience your marketing. So the ways once you show up in the market and the reputation you build publicly is then the primary reputation which people will judge you based on 99% of the time until they become a customer. So I like being associated with my target accounts at an executive level. It's really nice. So last question for you.
Please.
If you were thinking back on the first time you built some kind of an ABM program, what's the one thing you wish you had done differently so you could save somebody a lot of pain?
I think people don't do the upfront research enough, if I'm being really honest with you. I think they don't go to the level. I think everyone has a target account list. Almost every single company has a target account list. Most companies I come into that are like, "Hey, this is our target account list. We're running ads to them," have never actually picked through and gone through and mapped out, okay, the person that's taking the demo, the person that's signing up for the product, they're the people that actually likely have the pain that your product solves. Okay, bingo, you've got your initial person. But there is so much that's about to go on. And I don't think people actually map how do you actually talk to the executive buyer? How do you actually talk to whoever else needs to be involved in this? I think everyone knows that there's a buying group. I don't think most companies actually sit down and map out like, okay, this is what this person needs to know. This is what this person needs to know. This is what this person needs to know. And then on top of that, figure out how to get that messaging in front of those people. I know I didn't when I first started because I was just doing stuff to like that initial person without really realizing that at a six-figure ACV, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes that you don't really understand that you need to already prep people with ahead of time.
Yeah. I've said this a lot, but I'm going to keep saying it because I don't think people still get it. I've had 300 sales conversations in 18 months. I have spoken to 3 CFOs, but I can guarantee that in every single one of those sales conversations, the CFO is involved.
Yep.
So
yep.
I love that call out, just mapping the buying committee and actually making content that's specific for them. Liam, this has been super helpful. If people want to find out more about you, where would you point them?
LinkedIn. It's Liam McCormick. If you spell my name correctly, which I'm sure is going to be in some sort of title/show notes, I'm the only one on LinkedIn with my name spelled the way that it is. So if you spell it correctly, you'll find me. You can also go to growthbyliam.com, which is obviously my website. And those would be the two places I hang out.
Love it. Well, Liam, again, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we'll see you guys in the next one.